This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 14th, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda involves final rules on candidate travel. Mr. Vice Chairman, we have a late submitted document. Very little is timely today. We were lots of late work on the items that appear on today's agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider a memorandum from the General Counsel setting forth draft final rules on campaign travel. It's agenda document 0794.
Very good. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. We have Joshua Bloom and Richard Yule from the General Counsel's office. Counsel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document 07-94 is a draft final rule implementing the campaign travel provisions of Section 601 of the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act of 2007, which became effective on September 14th of this year. A draft explanation and justification for this rule will be circulated separately at a later date. The draft final rule implements the travel portions of HLOGA, as it's come to be known, in four ways. First, it amends 11 CFR 100.5 by adding a new definition of leadership PAC, which reflects the language provided in the statute. Second, it revises 11 CFR 100.93 by providing new rules governing the rate of reimbursement that candidates and other campaign travelers must pay providers of non-commercial or government aircraft in order to avoid receiving in-kind contributions. Third, it amends 11 CFR Part 113 by adding new 113.5, which directly implements HLOGA's restrictions on expenditures for non-commercial travel on aircraft. Finally, it makes conforming amendments to the regulations governing publicly funded presidential candidates in light of the revisions to 11 CFR 100.93. We would be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Again, I would like to highlight the amount of hard work by our counsel and the commissioners. This was as implementing a statute which was effective only 3 months ago. It was effective immediately under the terms of that law, and so we have worked very hard to try and get implementing regulations in place as soon as possible so that individuals covered by the statute can have clear guidance as to how it's going to be interpreted by this agency. Other thoughts and comments on the matter before us? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to be the one to do this again, but I have to say that I think this is a very good document. Again, all of the commissioners had a great deal of input into drafting this regulation. There was a great deal of back and forth, a great deal of discussion on how to do this. And, you know, when Congress adopted S1, it included a very brief section that it called restrictions on use of campaign funds for flights on non-commercial aircraft. While legislative brevity is not to be confused with simplicity, it's dismaying to see such a brief piece of legislation balloon into a lengthy and complex set of implementing regulations, but unfortunately, the rule they set out is very complex, and I think the final product that the Commission has come up with is a good one, because it lays out the rules of how this law is going to work. However, once again, I'm unable to cast my vote in favor of this for one reason. The corporate jet provision of S1 was enacted for a very specific purpose, and that was to combat the perceived problems of members of Congress flying on privately owned jets while paying less than the full charter rate in return. The two leading sponsors of S1 explained in written comments that, quote, in recent years, travel by members of Congress on corporate jets contributed greatly to public concern about inappropriate access and influence of lobbyists on the legislative process. I think this proposed regulation today faithfully implements S1 in a manner that's consistent with the sponsor's understanding of its effect on federal candidates. The problem is the regulations go further and do something that Congress very clearly did not intend. The regulations that we're proposed to adopt today impose the new air travel regime not just on federal candidates, which was the entire reach of the bill, but on everyone else in the political world, including political parties and non-candidate political committees. The scope of S-1 could not be clear. It applies only to, quote, candidates for election and, quote, any authorized committees of such a candidate. Congress could have extended this to political parties and non-candidate connected committees, but they specifically did not do so. Now, despite that very clear statutory language, this regulation would extend this rule to all these people who were not included in the original statute. Not a single one of the commenters who sent us public comments on this embraced that proposal at all. Now, just 4 years ago, before my time on the commission, the FEC adopted a regulation imposing the first-class airfare concept. Now, Congress made very clear its rejection of this regulation for candidates, but it did not do so for other political organizations. And there's absolutely nothing in the public record before us, in the testimony and the comments, that would support disregarding the plain language of the statute and would give us, I think, the authority to more expansively apply this regulation. For those reasons, while I agree with the way it's laid out the rules, I can't support the regulation itself. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This does address, this is a response, these regulations are a response to S-1, but it's a longstanding issue here at the Commission how to value airfare, how to value private air transportation, and it's one that the agency has grappled with on many occasions over the years. The guiding principle is supposed to be fair market value, usual and customary rates, and commissioners have disagreed over the years as to exactly what the appropriate fair market value, usual and customary rate analog would be when somebody gets to hop a ride on a private plane. The last time this came up was, although certainly not the first time at this commission, was I think 2003. And at that time, I voted to that the fair market value of riding on a private plane was chartering a private plane. So I voted for the charter rate before. I lost that vote, and we ended up with the rule that we had before, which Congress took exception to in S-1. So I am delighted today to be able to vote again for the charter rate, and this time I anticipate that it will carry the day, since Congress did not give us, in most instances, any choice. But it is clearly within our prerogative to define fair market value for any political travel, and that's what this rule does, and tries to do it in a consistent manner across the board, which I think, in a complicated rule, makes life a little bit simpler.
Thank you. Other thoughts, comments? I mean, I think that the position that Commissioner Bonspakovsky has raised both here today and in our internal discussions is thoughtful and a reasonable one under the statute. I have at the end concluded that I agree with Commissioner Weintraub because what we are in fact doing here is determining what the fair market value is for the use of these of corporate jets, and the agency had promulgated a rule itself setting that as the equivalent to the cost of first-class airfare a number of years ago, and the question that we presented in the context of these implementations, the implementing of the statute, was whether that was, in fact, whether the record reflected that, in fact, was a fair measure of fair market value. And we got no submissions that provided anything in the form of an argument that the cost of a first-class airfare ticket was a fair measure of the fair market value of the use of a corporate jet. Nor, looking back at the explanation and justification for the original reg, was there much in the way of evidence that would support setting first-class airfare as the fair market value for the use of these jets. It was administratively convenient in that it was reasonably easy to discern what a first-class airfare ticket was, but it did not, I think, fairly measure the value that was being provided in that context. So I, at the end, support adopting a regulation that uses what I think is a better measure of the value of the service being provided in this particular context. Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with much of what the chairman said. I just want to make a couple of notes. First, I certainly agree that Commissioner Von Spakovsky's position is a reasonable and appropriate one to take. Like Commissioner Weintraub, I was here 4 years ago. I did vote for the first class reimbursement rate at that time. However, I did so for essentially the same reason I'm voting for this regulation today, which is for the purposes of both simplicity and fairness. And actually, sometimes being fair and being simple are great tension.
Conflict.
and here I believe that they are not. Prior to 4 years ago, we had a two-tier rate structure. Candidates could get the first-class rate, and other committees could not get the first-class rate. And, for instance, that led to the oddity that not only did political parties not get the first-class rate, but leadership PACs didn't get the first-class rate. And so we got into a discussion, and it certainly didn't make any sense to me to have two different sets of reimbursement costs depending on the identity of the political committee. And I thought it was simple. And Commissioner Von Spakovsky talked about complexity and complexity being a problem. I very much agree. This is a very complex law, too complex. And when we have an opportunity to make it simpler, I think there's a strong reason to do so. Congress, for whatever reasons, has decided they don't want members flying and paying at the first-class rate, and that's fine. And we could, I certainly concede, have revised the regulation and gone back to a two-tier rate structure, which would be the opposite of what we had prior to 4 years ago. However, I don't think that would have made any particular sense. In other words, I don't see any public policy reason or any rationale underlying in the Act for why that would be. And in fact, I agree with my colleagues that the general rule in the Act is fair market value, and that generally speaking, charter and first class are not the same thing. And so it's clear that we have the authority to change the reg that we, after all, changed 4 years ago and wrote some years before that. And I believe that we come out with a more simple and therefore better result by applying the same rate to every type of committee.
Other thoughts, comments? Commissioner Walther.
Well, since everybody made a comment, you made the comment one time, everybody spoke of it. But one, but I would just sort of echo the chairman that I think what we really are getting here is some parity and some simplicity that has been missing, and also a recognition that the charter rate is a fair rate and one that it makes sense, I think, to just apply across the board.
Okay. Other thoughts? Vice Chairman Mason.
I move approval of the draft final rules as set forth in Agenda Document 0794.
Okay, the Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-1, with Commissioner Von Spakovsky voting against. Council, thank you very much.